Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of Not Alone Today podcast. My name is Joseph.
And I am Anu.
Today we are going to be looking at two questions actually, because both questions are kind of similar and they are related to academics. So a question comes in from Tracy and the other one from John. So Tracy says, I've just seen the results today. The lecturer for the course was very strict. In all the three sets of continuous assessments he gave us, which amounted to 30% of the mark, I tried all I could and I ended up with 14 out of 30. I prayed earnestly, believing in God for a better grade in the remaining 70% for the exams. I studied hard. He repeated past questions. They were easy and God was faithful to bring all I read to my remembrance. But I checked my grade today and I failed the course. I just can't believe it. I just can't fail! ! Mm-hmm. I trust God so much, like without a doubt! Help! And that's an interesting question. John's question is similar, but except that John is asking, what would you say to someone who continues to fail repeatedly in his academic journey? Someone who continues to fail repeatedly in his academic journey. So basically, these two questions are on the subject of failures. What do you think about them?
Basically, just like in summary, I think failure is part of life. And some of us, we spend our entire lifetime running away from failures. And our panic is not just based on the failure itself. It's based on fear of what people will think about us, pride on what we think about ourselves, and confusion because we think we've worked so hard, so why we're not seeing results. And I think this all centers on us wanting to be in control.
Yeah.
And I think it's natural to want to be in control, to want to put your resources together, to want to work hard and see good results. But we find in life that with our best efforts, we still men. And that's why we need God. And so I just thought to bring that overall picture in.
Yeah.
Before that's we start our discussion.
But have you failed academically before? Have you like failed a course before?
I haven't, you know.
So maybe you can't even relate to what we're talking about.
There was a time where I was in secondary school in boarding house.
Yeah.
And we just had our results and like my dad had sent our driver to come pick me. And they gave me my result. It was kind of full of red pen because in Nigeria, when you fail, when you have low marks, you get like red pen, but the good marks are in blue. My report card was really very colorful, was very red. And at the bottom they wrote passed on trial. So you see, I failed before, but just passed on trial. Because the teacher's handwriting, the on trial, to me looked original. Before I got to my driver, I saw a friend and she was asking me about my result. I thought, oh, what? Me, I passed original. And she said, she's never heard anyone pass an original. Let me see your report card. And she showed me and they said, Anu, you passed on trial. And I'm thinking, hey, it's the first time in my life that I was changed my result and I was saying I passed original, whatever, passed on trial. Yeah, so I happened.
That's an interesting case. I thought to speak to the link, especially for Tracy's question, to the link between faith and academics. Because my experience of failure in my third year was a senseless failure as well. So
senseless failure.
Yeah, it's the kind of failure, and I think what Tracy is explaining here, and this is not uncommon, especially in Nigeria universities, whereby you'd believe you've done your best, you'd believe you did everything you're supposed to do, and then some weird results comes up, and that was the kind of failure that I had.
It's the ones where you see the result, it keeps squinting as though it's going to change, the figures are going to change.
Yeah. In my case, it was a 32F, and actually the the lecturer was like, he has actually added 5 marks to everybody's score. Oh, so basically, goodness. They're trying to say I scored 27%, 27 out of 100, which is absolutely unthinkable in all of my academic journey history. Oh. But yeah. And so I could relate basically with what Trace is saying. And I had to take that course again, of course, in the next year. Mm. But the point is that you trust God so much, because I can see her adding exclamation marks with, I trust God, I did this, I just can't fail, I trust God so much, without a doubt. That's good. That's beautiful. That's lovely. But that you trust God so much without a doubt doesn't exclude failing from your possibilities. In fact, it most certainly adds failing to your options. And that's because of what Anat said earlier on, that failure is a part of life. It's got its own purpose in a sense. Faith is believing that God can do something. Faith is hoping unwaveringly, as Tracy did, that God will do it. But beyond that, there is a realm where faith becomes trust, in the sense that it's believing that God can do it, hoping unwaveringly that He will, but also understanding that even if it doesn't do what you expect or hope that it will do, He's still got everything in charge. He's still God. He's still in charge, basically. He's still going to work all the details together for our good. He's still going to make everything turn out right at the end of the day. So that's the first thing I thought to say to Tracy, to say, yeah, it's good you've studied and you've had faith, you've read like everything depends on reading, and you've prayed like everything depends on praying. But having done all that, academically speaking, in the context of our academic journeys, failure is simply saying you have an opportunity to give it a go again and do it better, do it, learn from your failure and give it your very best. I know it's easier said than done. It was embarrassing for me to fail the course that I said I failed, and of course even more embarrassing to have to sit in the same lecture theater the next year to attend lectures, to sit for tests, to come and write exam with people that were younger than me in that sense. But what does it matter, really? At the end of the day, that doesn't mean that God wants us to fail. But I'm saying, in God's big scheme of things, even our failures are tools that He can use to achieve tremendous purposes. In this particular context, of course, this was me in my third year. I failed the course. In my final year, I was saddled with the responsibility of pastoring a fellowship of about 400 students. Now, naturally, by virtue of that leadership position, when students fail in the fellowship, when fellowship members fail, like woeful failures, many of them need some sort of counseling. Besides help academically, they would also come to quote unquote the pastor to say this is what is going on and all that. But you know, I discovered that for very many of them, when I opened the chapter of the fact that, guess what, actually I also failed, I'm also going to be resitting a course next semester, it just makes them feel a little less
uncomfortable
or disappointed about their failure, to say, oh, if pastor could have failed
then I'm okay,
then that's fine, bad as it seems. And yeah, so that was one purpose to it. It was a comforting reality for me to tell people that you're not alone, and I'm not just saying that like cliche. I'm also going through this. I'm also going to be resitting a course very shortly, so we're actually in this together. And that had its own therapeutic effects in some ways. So now we move on to John. And John's case is not just about whether he prepared and he failed. John's case is, what do you say to someone that is failing repeatedly? So what would you say?
So first, I would say, I don't think it's normal. And John may need to ask himself some hard questions.
Absolutely.
And be sincere with himself in his responses. For instance, do I really have the capacity to pursue this course that I'm studying? So we need to, if you've been failing repeatedly at a thing, it might not be a course.
Yeah.
You might need to ask the question, is it necessary now? Sometimes our motivation is enough encouragement to make us successful at a task or a course. When you know you're successful at a thing, you easily get good results. But when you find something hard, just you finding it hard makes it hard. So John will need to find out why am I doing this course? That's the first thing I would say. What would you say, Jeff?
So that issue of capacity is very, very, very key, very germane. There are many people that are doing things that they are not configured to do. And when you're doing things you're not configured to do, you're bound to... you're headed towards failure, basically. Because you're acting outside of your niche. You're acting outside of your sweet spot.
Yes.
All of us have got a sweet spot. And when we are operating in our sweet spot, we flourish.
Mm-hmm.
When we operate outside of it, we struggle. And so there will be the need to indeed ask those tough questions. In the context of whatever failure is being repeated, are you failing repeatedly academically? Are you academically capable to study the course that you're studying? What exactly are you good at? What would have been an alternative, as it were, that would make you feel more successful, if that makes sense?
What I would say before you move to the next point is to ask John, is this the right time to undertake the course? Sometimes we have lots of things happening to us emotionally or with our relationships or with our families that takes a chunk of our attention and concentration. So even if we have the capacity to study a course, the timing might be wrong, and that is why the failures come repeatedly, because obviously you're divided. So and that question would be, is it necessary to do it now? Can I do it next year? Can I defer the course until I'm in the right frame of mind to settle in and put all my attention what I need to do?
That's lovely. And again, I mean, in very many institutions, there are provisions actually for guidance in this regards, and those resources are there to be used and leveraged upon. Another point would be to actually understand that you can't do something the same way and expect a different result. Part of the reason why people fail repeatedly is because they keep doing the same thing that they did when they failed and expecting to pass. Until you change the narrative, nothing is going to change, really. And as simple as that is, that can just be the revolutionary truth or insight that the person needs to know, that you can't continue to do stuff the same way and expect to get a different result. You need to pause, ask yourself, what am I learning from this failure? What exactly am I doing wrong? Is it my approach to study that is wrong? Is it my study group that needs to change? Is it my study habits that needs to change? Is there something that needs to change even in terms of my lifestyle that would contribute better to my output in terms of this academic sphere or whatever other sphere you're failing in?
And also, it might actually be wise to consult other textbooks.
Yeah.
When I studied law, sometimes the recommended textbooks, I found them, some of them, very, very difficult. But when I read similar other textbooks on the same subject, it makes more sense. So when I go back to the recommended one, I'm able to understand what they're trying to say. So sometimes our lecturers, they know best, but sometimes they choose books based on their knowledge, which might not be suitable for us. So John might also want to consider assessing different books. It could even be them, because in law, we'd have like a big textbook that is very detailed. Then we'll have a short, concise one that is just straight to the point. So it might be useful to just get a short one. What is the course saying overall? And maybe that will pique your interest, and that's the capacity part. And will make you passionate about what the course is saying. And that might also be helpful.
That's brilliant. Lastly, for me anyways, would be to ask yourself, who is your king really? And what is your king saying about your failures? Because at the end of the day, as a child of God, you've got a father that is interested in every detail of your life, including your failures. The book of Judges actually is instructive in this regards. The book of Judges is a book of a cycle of failures, if you will. It's almost like the people are under some tyranny or some enemy is disturbing them, the Israelites, and then they cry out to God. God raises a deliverer for them. The deliverer delivers them and judges them in the process, of course. Mm-hmm. And eventually they go back into idolatry. They forsake God. God sends another enemy or another tyrant to oppress them. And then they cry out to God again. And that's just the cycle that keeps going on and going on. And the interesting thing is at the beginning of the book and even at the end of the book, you find those statements. In those days, there was no king in Israel and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Mm. When you are kingless, when you don't acknowledge the place of your leader, your king, your master, your Lord, in your affairs, there is every tendency that you just continue to go around in cycles of failure. But when your king is your king, calling the shots, telling you, wake up and study now, telling you, oh, everybody is studying now, but I want you to go and sleep now. Mm. And just you yielding and obeying, it links you with the right resources. It brings the right people that are study partners into your circle. It does these things, gives you premonitions, sometimes intuitive knowings, as it were.
True.
And all of those things contribute at the end of the day to a success. So basically, who is your king? If it's the Lord, let him indeed be the one calling the shots. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons or the children of God. And so that's where I would land it from my end. Is there any other thoughts you have?
Yes, the last thing I would say is it might be a spiritual matter.
There's that possibility. Yes,
there's a possibility that you've tried everything that we've said and it's still, the failures are still repeating themselves. So it might be time to seek your pastor's help.
Mm-hmm.
It might be time to join others in prayers, to pray through. Because most of the things we've given, the suggestions we've made it on the basis that these are the things you should try. As Kola said, go to your king and seek clarification. What is going on? Is this more than I think? And God will surely give you clarity and direct you to people that you should talk to.
Mm.
And that's the thing with God. It leads our path rightly. Like, there's no mistakes with him. It will tell you, to go to the right person, and this age-long problem will just resolve in a twinkle of an eye.
Mm.
And that's how God is. So with prayers, you get to have the results you want.
Mm.
With prayers, the things about capacity and things also, it hastens it. So you're not just doing all these things with your own determination. You're doing it with your king.
Mm.
So your king is saying, go this way and you are. Do this and you are. Hopefully, you should get a good result or a better result, so to say.
On that note, I thought we should just actually say a word of prayer to anyone that might be struggling with prayer, with failures in whatever regards, and
true,
and just speak a word into their life. Would you do that for us, please?
Yes. God, we thank you for this medium to speak life to dead situations.
Mm.
We pray for our friends out there that are going through failures, unspeakable failures that makes one ashamed and makes one question their faith.
Mm.
We're praying that as they're going through this, you will hold their hands and lead them.
Amen.
You will lead them aright. You will correct what needs correcting. You will amend what needs amending. You will fix what needs fixing. And I pray that in the process of the fixing and the amending, you keep their mental health sane and healthy. And we pray that you raise good friends, uplifting groups.
Mm.
We pray that they get support, good support from families, from friends, and for them to know particularly that they are not alone.
Amen.
In Jesus' most significant name we've prayed.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Remember to continue to engage with the podcast, share it with people in your world, and we're going to be happy to hear from you. We've been getting some feedback and some messages, even some voice messages on the
quite nice
app, which is good to get. So
yes,
thanks to those of you sending in some feedback.
Thank you.
We're actually going to listen to one of the feedbacks that we got on the podcast. So the next voice you would hear would be that of Rachel sending in a voice note from the United States.
Hello, sir, and hello, ma. First, I'd like to say thank you so much for the podcast. Thank you for your words of encouragement. Thank you for using your lives as an example for people like us to learn from. It's been such a pleasure knowing you guys from reading your wedding stories and, you know, getting to know you people, if not physically, at least to a reasonable extent of a personal level, and learning from the wisdom of God that he has given to both of you. I really think that this podcast is wonderful, wonderful. I learned from when PK, when Sister Anu talked about, you know, unknown fears. So this is something that I struggle with sometimes, and I'm glad I could learn from this. So I'm just using this as a feedback. It's not a question, to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Rachel, for your feedback, and every other person you encourage to send in your questions, send in your feedback like that. Till next time, you're not alone.
Today.
God bless
you. God bless you.